Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, luck and be good to ya all there. Hey, I don't know if that's right or not, but happy St. Paddy's Day. This is the second hour of the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Nick Bodie on the boards as usual. If you want to get involved in the show, 799-1250 is the phone number. Or you can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. I should probably check that, Danny, see if anybody emailed
sure.
us.
While time. You're checking that,
okay, I'm
although
done
I
checking.
Know it's hard for you to walk and chew gum at
I
the
know.
Same time. I thought I'd ask Thomas O. Neubauer. Uh-oh. What is the history of St. Patrick's Day? Because I don't know, and you are greatly learned and knowledgeable.
St. Patrick went to Ireland, got rid of the snake problem, converted them to Christianity.
Were they prairie rattlers?
I don't think so. That's
was
about
Chief
all
Corns-
I know.
Was Chief
no,
Cornstalk there,
he was,
too?
He was a monk or whatever he was, and he went over there and... He was kicked out of some other place. And
what's
went
the
over
difference
there.
Between a priest and a monk?
There's a difference. Is that yeah, it? Is
other than the spelling.
Guy?
Yes, it is.
Right now on the line, folks, we have Judge Brian Hagedorn. Good morning, Judge.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks.
We're good.
I'm Dan Bush, and this is Tom Neubauer. No relation,
yeah.
I'll add.
Yeah,
the spelling is different.
Yeah, let me tell you right away. Lisa Neubauer is no relation. She spells her the first three letters differently. And if she was a relation, I'd have to excommunicate her from the family.
There we go. So now that we got that straight, we appreciate you calling in because I know you're quite busy. And so I thought I'd ask you, you know, I'm as a school teacher, I should know more about my politics and outside world, but I'm not a social studies teacher. But explain to me, what is the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which you're running for, and why is it important that our listeners get out there and vote for you this April?
Yeah, thank you. Well, let me go back to just the basics, obviously. But we've got three branches of government, the legislative branch that writes the laws. You got the executive branch, the governor and the president that signs laws and carries them out. And then you have the judicial branch. And my job is really to interpret and apply the laws as written. So that's the basic gist of it. And the Supreme Court, unfortunately, over time, courts have taken a lot of power over important questions and have become a bigger and bigger part of our society than I think that our founders originally designed when they wrote the Constitution. But that is where we're at right now. And so, people don't always remember this or know this, but our courts have an incredible impact on so many things, including things like our Second Amendment rights now and so many other issues that always end up hitting the courts. It seems like everything controversial ends up in courts nowadays. And so I think it's incredibly important for people to pay attention to these races, and they just often don't in them. But they impact their lives as much as who your governor is and who controls the legislature. So, my philosophy is what I'm doing is my job as a judge is to defend the rule of law, which means my job is to say what the law is and not what I think the law should be, because that's another branch of government. So I'm not there to impose my own policy preferences. I'm not there to incorporate any kind of partisan politics into what I do, but just to be faithful and apply the law as it's written. And same thing upholding the Constitution as written. I want to look at the language. So when I look at rights like the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, you know, the right to bear arms, and obviously those are in the federal constitution, but they're also in our state constitution as well. And I need to uphold and enforce and defend those rights. So I think for your listeners who believe in those things and want to see those protected, you need judges who are going to do that. And finally, you know, protecting the public. We obviously have a big drug crisis that's hitting our state, the opioid, the meth crisis, that's impacting a lot of people. And so it's important that we have judges who understand that, that we show compassion and help people who are hurting, and there are a lot of those folks, but also hold people accountable. And that's certainly what I'll do on the Supreme Court. You know, I got the support of the Milwaukee Police Association, 44 sheriffs, far more than my opponent. And so really, I think this race is coming up on April 2nd, which is incredible, just 2.5 weeks. And actually, in a lot of places, you can vote now and pretty much everywhere starting this coming week. So so encourage your listeners to get out and vote, because this will affect their rights, their freedoms, our state, as much as really who controls the other, even political branches, which is not what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, now, I understand, Judge, that you like to hunt and fish and all that, but where do you come down? We know where you come down on the Second Amendment rights, but concealed carry in Wisconsin, you know, some of my friends and I were talking the other day about, could that be overturned with our new governor? I mean, of course, if they tried to, it would end up in the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Right, right. Well, so, I was Governor Walker's chief legal counsel for a period of time from 2011 till the end of 2015. So when concealed carry was put into effect and the rules were written when it was signed into law, I was, you know, part of that. So certainly well aware of that and help affect that. When it comes to could courts overturn it, yeah, you know, I think a lot of those issues where there anything you can think of where there's social disagreement about what we ought to do, those are exactly the sorts of things that could end up in the court. You know, obviously as a judge, I can't tell you how to rule on any given case because it certainly would depend on the case. And, you know, it's important for us to make sure people understand that they're going to receive a fair shake no matter what. But I do think people have a right to be concerned about a Supreme Court that ends up throwing out stuff it doesn't like. And, right. You know, my opponent, Lisa Neubauer, she's sort of held up as a model, the justice we're seeking to replace, who's quite frankly been far more political on the bench. Somebody who I would have great, think that there's a great risk of somebody who just says, hey, I don't really like this law, and somebody sued here, and so we're going to throw this thing out, and we're going to modify it. Those are always real possibilities.
So I think there is some in our country, we often hear about activist judges kind of doing their own thing. And so what you're saying is we need judges who are going to interpret the law and basically follow the book the way it's supposed to be.
Spot on. Exactly right. Because that's actually the only authority that I'm given under our Constitution. You know, I'm not a policyman. I don't believe in the rule of judges. I believe in the rule of law.
Right.
You know, the last thing we want, and trust me, the last thing I want is for all of us to be ruled by a bunch of lawyers wearing robes who think they're smarter than the rest of us.
Well, we've got a lot of listeners, Judge, all the way down to Kenosha, all the way up to Oshkosh. Actually, we got one guy listening from, where is he from up there? What was that?
Monaco.
Monaco, Wisconsin. We got someone just called us. So they're listening online as well. So I would encourage everybody, because I'll be honest with you, Judge, other than like maybe a presidential election and so forth, I haven't gotten out and voted as much as I should to exercise my rights as an American citizen. And then, you know, then we complain when things, you know, might change. Our voice is our vote, and we should all get out and vote this April. So I'm planning, what, April 2nd, that's the vote,
yeah.
But we can start now, correct?
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Early voting is, I think, opening almost everywhere this coming week, and it's open in some places now. But, yeah, that's right. People, in fact, just to put some numbers on that, Governor Walker and Governor Evers each got about 1.3 million votes in November, so 2.6 total. In the last Supreme Court race, the winning candidate got a little over 550,000. And so these races always just come down to turnout, and they come down to the number of people who actually decide that having judges who apply the law or not, that's an important enough issue to get out and vote. So I definitely want to encourage all your listeners. Maybe you're not used to voting, but this stuff matters. It matters to your life. as much as any other election.
Okay, I got two questions for you, real quick ones, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What's
the
favorite? What's the favorite fish you like to fish for?
Well, you know, so my father-in-law has taken us out, and we haven't done this as much recently because usually we go, he keeps his boat in our yard, which is nice. So he takes our family out. But I really love salmon fishing in Lake Michigan. We've had fun doing that. I haven't done it a little bit, but those are probably some of the best times that I've had.
Okay,
and not to mention it's good eating.
Yeah, it is. And what about hunting? What do you like to hunt for?
Yeah, I saw a picture of a pheasant.
Yeah.
I got five kids. I got five kids right now, 15, 13, 10, 8, and 5. So,
oh, wow.
Well, that was pretty – yeah, so we got a full house. It's loud and it's fun, that's for sure. But, yeah, we've done that recently a couple times with some buddies, and we've gone pheasant hunting, and that's been a lot of fun. So I'll say that for right now, though, you know, I'm looking forward to maybe trying some new things coming up soon. And we lived in Madison for a time when I was working for the governor. There were fewer opportunities to maybe do some of the things that I get to do now. But I recently did a tower shoot too. Where we were doing pheasants, and that was just a whole different ballgame. I had never done that before, and that was pretty fun.
Well, you know, you're a busy guy. You're a judge. You got five kids. You know, you got a lot on your plate. It doesn't always give you a lot of time to do maybe some of the things that you would enjoy. But are you a lifelong Wisconsinite?
I am, yeah, born and raised in Wisconsin, yep. From Milwaukee, actually, northwest side of the city. My dad, grandpa still lives there. You know, we didn't grow up with any money or connections or anything like that. I'm just kind of a blue-collar Wisconsin kid, and so I love this state. I did go to college and law school in Illinois, but I came back from the wilderness to be here and raise my family.
So nobody bought your way into college, huh?
Well, we won't even go there, huh?
No, not at all.
Oh, goodness.
Worked your way through, yeah. Like the rest of us there. Hey, well, let me ask you. Here's a question. I'm a teacher, and everybody says, oh, it must be rewarding working with kids. What's the most rewarding part about your job?
Boy, well, that's a great question. I, a couple things I'll say. I mean, I'm kind of a nerd on this law stuff. I mean, I actually just really like the reading and writing and the research that I get to do every day. But I think more significantly, it's really great to have a job where my only role is to just get it right as best I can based on the law. And I really mean that. When you're a lawyer, you're an advocate for your client, and it's your job to make the best case you can for their position. And that's an important thing. But being a judge, I'm just there to do it right. I'm there to get it right and can follow that to its end. Nobody tells me what I have to do. I don't have a boss other than the people, and the people have told me that to get the law right. And I really find that gratifying and, a lot of fun.
If people want to contact your campaign, where would they go?
You know, I've got a website out there, judgehagedorn.com, H-A-G-E-D-O-R-N. And, you know, we've got a whole volunteer portal out there as well, where people, if they want to get involved, there's really grassroots activity happening all across the state, from Kenosha all the way up to Monaco, is that where you said?
Yeah, Monaco all over.
There's one state gas station and one restaurant.
Yeah, but and if people want to, I was going to say, go ahead.
There. And you can you can go to our website, sign up, and we've got a whole portal on getting yard signs and making phone calls, letters to the editor, and that's really what this race is going to take, is just grassroots folks who decide it's worth it to try to help protect the law in our state and not have a court that's just going to be a policymaker.
Right. And if people want to donate, they can go there too, right?
You got it. Yeah. Exactly right.
Tom's kind of cheap here, Judge, but I'll try and twist his arm. So.
Well, you know, we're talking with Judge Brian Hagedorn, who's running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and we want to thank you for your time, and we want everybody to go out there and vote on April 2nd and vote for you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We actually had our first debate last night. We had a lot of fun, and I'll say one of the things that was disappointing was, my opponent was asked a number of questions, including on things like Second Amendment, and she wouldn't answer them.
She wouldn't answer them.
No, she wouldn't answer even about upholding and enforcing and protecting, the right to bear arms, which is in our Constitution.
Yeah.
So,
It shall not be infringed.
Sometimes I think not getting an answer is your answer.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Well, I appreciate your time and you guys caring about this race very much.
All right. Thanks for what you do.
Yeah, thank you for your time, Judge. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one, everyone.
You too. Bye now. Care. That was right, Judge bye-bye. Brian Hagedorn live on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. We do appreciate his time being on. And April 2nd is the time. We'll remind you guys
next week, too.
Yeah, we'll keep reminding you people.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back with more. It is, oh, boy, it's getting late on in the show.
Let's go to break here.
All right, let's do that. We'll be right back. Song need
out on the road for 40 days. Cowbells.
It needs more cowbells.
Cowbells, yes, Tom.
I got a fever and the only
sweet,
cure.
Sweet Connie.
And the only cure.
Do her act.
Is more cowbell.
Hey, you did a good impression of him.
That's the only thing that I can do that makes my brother laugh. Walken impressions.
Well, why don't you just continue talking like him during the show?
I'm gonna need more cow. Two mice. Fell into a bucket of cream. The first mouse quickly gave up. He drowned. But the second mouse, he struggled so hard, turned the cream into butter. I'm that second mouse. Well, catch me if you
what
can.
What movie was
it? Yeah, he'll
was that
be
catch
here.
Me if you can?
Catch
but,
me if yeah. you can.
He'll be here all week, folks. Tip your waitress as well.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. Now, our Joe wanted to know. I think it was
what
Joe.
What did Joe want to know? Joe from Monaco.
If we had, some of the best baits to use for the different species of fish, real quickly.
Oh, five and five.
Yeah. I'd like to say for panfish, it's a mini mite. For bluegills, crappies, perch, mini mite.
That's one.
That's one.
Hold on. Get your abacus out
yeah.
there, Nick.
For bass,
I can't keep track.
The easiest thing to use, and you'll catch a lot of fish on it, is a wacky rigged worm.
Wacky worm.
Wacky worm.
Wacky
worm. Yep.
Okay.
Wacky rigged worm.
With a chomp. It doesn't really. There's all kinds of soft plastics.
For walleyes, it depends where you're fishing, but you can't go wrong with live bait. I mean, let's face it. Walleyes like live bait.
Okay, wait a second. Okay.
A jig and a half a crawler is great for walleyes.
Yeah, but he wants five for each species, Tom.
No, not five for each. Just the top.
No, he said five for each.
Oh, I'm not.
He wants 15 baits, dude.
I don't need all that many. I don't need that. And then for northern,
I think Joe from Monaco wants more.
For northern pike, a big spinner bait or a MEPS, a number five MEPS or a big spinner bait. And for muskie, to me, a bucktail. I mean, that's basically, that's it. You know, pretty simple. Yeah. I mean, Danny, we've talked about this before, about how over the years, now, like, in your living room, you got these racks of musky lures. It's like a tackle shop, right?
Yeah.
But how many of those do you use?
Well,
not that many, right? I mean, you got a lot of them. But
I pick them up and fondle them often as I walk by in the living room.
But when you're...
Fondle?
He plays with the musky lures.
Yeah,
spins the blades, blows on the buzz baits.
No, I don't blow on them. That'd be weird.
But the thing is that over the years, you find that you start off in your fishing career with lots of lures. Tackle boxes and tackle boxes full of every size, every color, everything. And then you find out that, you know what? You start paring them down in that certain ones work on certain days or whatever, or certain areas.
Yep.
And you just pair those, and before you know it, you don't have a zillion boxes and everything. You've got certain ones that you know are going to work,
Not a zillion, maybe a kazillion.
Maybe a kazillion, yeah. You just pare down the numbers,
All right, I got to ask you guys, trivia question. You're both, not trivia question, but a pop quiz here for
okay,
you.
Pop quiz.
As expert fishermen, both of you, if you were trapped on a desert island, you don't really know what kind of fish are around
Marianne.
You. But you Marianne.
Yep,
yeah,
Marianne.
As long as it's not Gilligan. No, if you're trapped on a desert island and there's fish all around you, they're your only source of food and you got to be able to snag them, what is the one bait you would bring with you if you could.
Snag them? You mean catch them, right?
Got to be able to catch them.
What kind of fish, though?
You don't know what's in the water.
It's a night crawler.
It's got to be an all-purpose.
Night crawler, you boneheads. It'd be easy. You just get a bear hook, dig up a worm from underneath a log, and throw that out.
Yep. That's, you know, back...
Night crawler.
Back in Egyptian times, they would actually make hooks out of bone. They would, like, sharpen the end. They'd find bones that were, like, turned like a hook, you know, almost. And they'd, like, try to sharpen them up, and they would catch fish out of the Nile.
Cleopatra was an avid fisherwoman, believe it or not.
I believe it. I believe it. And, but, yeah, a hook and a worm.
Who'd she
you
hook
can't
up
go
with
wrong me? With that.
Who'd Mark Lip? Mark Antony.
She and, married well, wait a minute.
That's what they did on her honeymoon. They went on a fishing vacation on the Nile.
No,
got some Nile perch.
First, she hooked up with Julius Caesar and had a child with him first. Then, when Julius went back to Rome, Mark Antony came over because he was supposed to protect Egypt from some of the other countries that might give her problems.
Right.
And then she hooked up with him and had two kids with him. Or was it three? I think there was a set of twins. But, she had kids with both of them. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, she was trying to sway Rome into not taking her over, you know, not taking over Egypt.
I don't know why she needed the Romans. They had the aliens that were helping them with the pyramids and stuff, Tom.
Well,
they had all the ancient astronauts that would help them.
But that
they
was,
didn't need any help.
That was way
could
before.
Give them the old alien death ray.
That was way before Cleopatra's time.
Was it?
Yeah, way before.
The aliens,
that was thousands of years before
left.
Her. Yeah.
Oh.
That was way before
she
her.
She just kind of inherited all that
That
stuff?
Was later on in Egypt's life, you know. And you got to wonder about those pyramids, man. I mean, when you think about that, without modern implements... That we have cranes
engineering.
And all
yep.
How did they? Did you ever see those pieces of stone that weighed many tons? How did they get them
they
up there?
They used lots of slaves.
How
Tom,
did they get them up
they
there?
They had no, rolled them on logs
even
and stuff.
Even with just manpower, how'd you get them up there? It's unreal. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
It was aliens. All aliens.
You got me.
All aliens.
Back to fishing here.
I like that music, though.
I got it.
From the X-Files.
Got it. Got a question, Tom.
Okay.
I'm reading an article in Badger Sportsman Magazine. And there's an article in here, and a guy's got a picture of a couple of wall hanger fish. And one is an 8.5-pound walleye and a 7-pound largemouth bass. And apparently they came out of Lake Keesis.
I believe it.
That was going to be my question, if you believe it. What do you know about Lake Keesis?
It's a good fishing lake, but the access is terrible. The launch is down this big hill. The parking isn't down by the launch, unless you have a handicap sticker, because they got room for two spots for car and trailer.
Okay.
Just two.
Do you have to pay?
It's up the hill, and you got to pay a few bucks. But it's up the hill and down the road about three blocks is where the parking is for it. So it makes it very difficult to go out there, especially if you're by yourself, because you don't want to launch your boat, leave it there, and then go put your vehicle away and, you know, leave it unattended. So, yeah, it's just a tough place. It's a good ice fishing lake.
Okay.
It's got all the regular species in that our lakes have. I don't think it has muskie, though.
Small lake.
Yeah,
obviously.
It's not a big lake, but it is. It's got a
deep. Has it got any deep spots?
Yeah, it's deep lake. It's a very good fishing lake for panfish, bass, northern, and yes, there are walleye in it. Yeah, so it's got everything I think except muskie. You know, Keesis is a good lake. It's just that it's not a great launch.
Well,
area.
The fact that it doesn't have a great launch would mean that it might be a little bit quieter,
underfished,
without a lot of meatheads out there.
Yep, underfished.
Underfished.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. And you'll find, I mean, I find this too, is that the majority of people who live on lakes, okay, who
don't fish.
They don't fish. No, they don't fish. So, you know, that's one of those, it's a little gem of a lake.
You know,
we've got a number of those
around
us.
There are a number of those, and my buddy Sergeant Horton, he might be listening right now, he goes to these little gems and finds little hidden gems, Lake X's, as you will, and Ys and Zs that have big pike in them.
Yeah.
And he'll go target some big pike, even some big perch, some lakes that nobody's really hitting.
Right.
So you got to get be willing to get off the beaten path and think outside the box.
Yeah, there's one lake, I can't mention a name because if I mention it, my oldest son would shoot me. It's a little 80-acre lake.
And if he shoots you, he won't get the life insurance. He's got to wait for you to kick off
of
natural causes. Keep having those smokes, buddy, and he won't have to wait so long.
But there's a little 80-acre lake in Waukesha County that it's only got about maybe 5 or 6 parking spots for cars and trailers, a couple of handicapped spots, a couple of car-only spots. It's not a big lake, but when we go there, the only thing... He says that we're allowed to keep our bluegills and crappies. Can't keep any bass, no northerns, because he says this is a small lake. We don't want to deplete it of the resources. And we've caught some really nice bass. We've never caught a nice northern out of that lake, but we've caught a lot of nice bass, some big bass, you know, out of that lake. And it does have a lot of crappies and bluegills in that. So, but yeah, there's some real gems close by. As a matter of fact, the lake I like fishing in fall for muskie. And I'll tell everybody too is Fowler Lake out in Oconomowoc. That's of the fishing area where the muskies are inhabiting is only maybe 50 acres.
It's small.
And it's small, but there are nice muskie in that lake. I mean, it's got a lot of other fish.
I've caught
in it.
One muskie in there one time. It was maybe late May, early June, and I had a guide trip on. Pewaukee, and these guys came down from Green Bay. I came with his dad, and we went to Fowler because the wind was howling. We couldn't do, and sure enough, a guy got a 37-inch muskie on a bobby bait there. Yeah. Saved the day.
I'll tell you a quick story about Fowler when we come back.
When we come back.
After this break. So stay tuned for more with Dan Bush, Tom Neubauer, Nick Bode on the boards here on Sports Radio 1250 AM or 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. How can you not sit there and dance and groove to this?
I know. Hey,
back in the day.
Live on the phone right now is our good friend, Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection, and he's got the report for us from last week at the sports show.
Who were the lucky wieners?
Yeah, what went on, Dennis? Tell us about the morning of that Saturday morning.
What happened there, eh?
Something smells fishy.
Yeah.
Something smells fishy, that's right.
It's a muskie.
It was fun, the muskie, you're right. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Morning.
It was fun. Gary Smith, was your listener, was the first winner down at the booth, and then Tom Huffin was the second winner, and Tom come running in because he was in a big hurry. He was out of breath. Something smells fishy. Something smells fishy. We had to ask what. But they came to the booth, and he was out of breath. Water was running off his head, and he was all excited, He wanted to make sure because he tried once before and missed.
He didn't win last year. He camped out overnight.
Wow.
Yes, he was all excited. But we had a lot of your listeners stop by and say hello, and that was nice. So
yeah. So I suppose. What?
I was going to say you guys got a lot of listeners. They're building and building and building. So
yeah. As a matter of fact, did you have a number of people who got there late and went, shoot?
Yes. Yes, we did. We had some. Consolation prizes for him. We had some cash off on night stays at the Boulder Motor Lodge and some other goodies that we gave away. It's just to keep some of the people happy. And I think next year we're going to do something. We're thinking about doing something a little different where we're going to maybe put the names in a hat and then have one drawing and then everybody get a chance. So.
Oh, you know what? That's a good idea. We could draw that on the show.
There you go. That would you could do that the following week on the show.
Yeah, put all the names in a hat, name and phone number, that they would have to come down and fill out by you, and then
sure.
then after the show, you would I'd get together with you. You could give me the all the stuff, and then actually they could do that on Saturday and Sunday, let's say, right?
Yeah, I could get that to you before you even leave town.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And
you
then
you guys pull it off.
And then the following Saturday, we would pull the two winners, and then we'd give them your number to contact you. Yeah,
sure.
That'd be great. Yeah, what a great idea.
Here we go.
All right.
Like you say, it just gives everybody else a chance, and it would help you. You know, would help everybody. And everybody's real nice, and they're happy and friendly. And there was, like I say, a lot of people stopped by to say hello, and people that have been down at one before now are coming up on a regular basis, which is a nice thing. So
yeah, that's great.
It works great.
So you're up. You're back home now, right?
Back in Boulder, and I'm going to give you a report here quick.
Yes, tell us.
If you're snowmobiling, call ahead, because after this week it's supposed to get awful warm, and we're supposed to start melting our snowpack here, and I would say call ahead if you're thinking about coming to make sure that the trails are still decent. Right now they're excellent yet, but we did have quite a meltdown this week, and it's going to continue this next week according to the weatherman. And some of the lakes that were impassable are getting better, and the people are getting out. It's still a challenge, but they are getting out the fish. So,
all right,
it's improving.
What do you, with all that snow melting? Are you going to have some flooding?
Not so much, Dan. Up in this area here, we got in our area right around north and south of Boulder. Most of our area is sand country, and we get rid of most of the water. It dissipates in the soil quite rapidly. There isn't a lot of frost in the ground underneath the snow, so if we can get rid of it, there's water in the streets and the roads. If you've got river areas where you've got rivers, there is flooding, and we got street flooding right now because the edges are all froze up yet. But
I'm guessing this melt has come none too soon for the deer herd, though.
No, the deer herd right now the deer are in tough shape, because it's tough to get around, and that meltdown is helping a little bit. We got 2 or 3 inches of snow last night, but now this next week is supposed to start warming up. So they're talking about 40s and 50s during the week. So that's really going to push the snow down and get this to the point where we can get around a little better.
Well, Dennis, it can't come soon enough, right?
So yeah.
Spring can't come.
Yeah, go ahead. Everybody's saying the same thing. We can't. So we got to get rid of the winter. We got to get blue water is what we need.
Time to get the boat out.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. Well, Dennis, thanks for that update. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. And we'll talk some more, and I'll keep informed what's going on up here in the Northwoods.
All right.
Take care, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. I was going to say I'll get to that Fowler Lake story after the break. But Paul Mahalik called.
What Fowler Lake story?
Yeah. Paul Mahalik.
See how ADHD we are. What?
Paul Mahalik called me yesterday.
He did?
Yeah, it was a different reason, but then he said he was on Winnebago last week. He said, oh, yeah, we had like 20 inches of ice driving out there, no problem, blah, 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 you know. But he never told me what he caught.
Did you ask?
No.
Well, you're the
We were talking about something
else. What's the
matter
with you?
He called me for a different reason. And
do we have to call Tex in the big rig and find out from him?
Well, Paul said we could call him anytime to find out. But
my brother Tim, he's up there, but I don't think he's been ice fishing there.
No, okay.
Where does Paul live?
Waukesha, someplace. Okay.
What was he doing up in Winnebago?
Waukesha County.
He was fishing. He was fishing.
Yeah, Nick. Fishermen go to different lakes to go fishing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
You drove up there to go to college. I drove up there to put the schooling on the fish.
Hey, why don't you take us into this break with your Christopher Walken impersonation?
You're listening here to the Cutting Edge Outdoors Show on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. And if you want to find it anytime, 1057FMTheFan.com.
That's no Hornswoggle, Mr. Douglas.
We'll be right back. It's the
Okay, Danny, I'm turning off the computer now.
Well, where's all the emails today?
No emails today.
Well, we never said. email us.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Twice.
I never
heard
it.
Three times, actually.
Okay.
So this is about the time when I shut this baby down anyway. Okay, Fowler Lake.
Shut this major operation down.
Fowler Lake, let me tell you. I went out there with Dennis Radloff once.
It's hard to foul up out on Fowler.
We and like we were saying, the area to fish for muskies is about 50 acres or so. And in the fall, I like fishing it because I can make
50 acres.
It might be less.
But couple anyway, acres, dude.
No, it's bigger than a couple.
50 acres is big hunting land. If I'm on 50 acres making a drive, I got to go a long
way. That's at least 35 to 40, at least, I think. Well, anyway, whatever. You can make two passes in the fall with your suckers and casting. You can make two full passes around in a big
revolutions.
Circle. You get out there in the morning at 8 o'clock, let's say, do your two passes. You'll be home in time for the Packer game at noon. You get home about a half hour ahead of time. So I like doing that. Get out there early, make my passes.
Well,
but anyway, I was out there with Dennis Radloff.
Okay.
We were doing a TV show.
Oh, okay.
And we're off of that one, that first point you come to that the church is on.
Yeah.
And we hit the weed line, and he says, yeah, I had some clients out here last week. We saw a nice fish out here. You know, right. And he's pointing to the right over there. Yeah, we saw some nice ones. And I had I think it was either a Big Joe live action or a bulldog. I think it was a bulldog on it.
Okay.
And he says, yeah, why don't you just try down that weed line edge right over there. So I make a couple casts, and all of a sudden, I don't feel the bait. You know, I don't feel any weight because those are heavier baits,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just reeled real fast and, I reeled real fast and set the hook, caught a fat 44-incher with him.
Wow.
And I said, damn, Dennis, you're good. He'll just cast over there, he says. So then another time I was out there by myself and I got a fish that she hit the bait. She hit the sucker. I set the hook. I had her on for about, I'd say, 30 seconds. Which seems a lot longer when you have it on, but it really wasn't that long. It was about 30 seconds.
Yep.
And she came up to the surface about 20 feet from the boat, and I could see her. You know, it was right there, you know. And the hooks came out. I went, son of a gun. So I started reeling in. I watched her turn around and hit that baby again. She turned around and smacked it again. I caught her. That was a 46-incher, but nobody's with me, right? Son of a gun. So I called Eric Catlin. He was running Mike's Muskie Shop out there in Okachi at the time. I said, Eric, I got a nice fish. Are you busy? He says, well, not right now. And I says, well, can you close up the shop? Bring your camera out here. Close up the shop. Take a picture. Needless to say, he didn't come out and take a picture of it.
I'd tell you the same thing.
He says, I can't close up the shop to come out.
Take a picture.
I said, it's only 5 minutes away. Come on. He, no, I can't. It was funny.
You just let it go.
But anyway, so Fowler Lake, they got a lot of crappies, a lot of bluegills, a lot of bass, a lot of small pike, but there are some bigger pike in there. The biggest one we've ever got out of there was 36 inches.
Yeah.
So there are some decent pike, but mostly smaller ones. And they got some darn nice muskies. And the biggest muskie I ever heard of coming out of there was, I forget the guy's name. He's a guide in the area for muskies, but he got a 49-incher one time out there. So there are some decent
ones. But the muskies come and go, don't they? Don't they spill through the dam and get out of there?
Well,
then
the ones that come down the Oconomowoc River, some might go over the dam. That's how they got into LaBelle, right?
Right.
But a lot of them stay right there. They got a lot of food.
Hang out for a while.
And it gets pretty deep in that lake, you know? It's not a shallow lake. It's a deep lake.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe they set up shop.
So, it's one of those nice, and it's a fun place to go, especially like if you got a kayak, you know, because there's a place where you can park by the park area,
right?
Carry your kayak down. You can paddle around the lake. We see a lot of kayakers out there, you know, and some of them are fishing, some not, you know. So anyway, hey, you got a call. What do we got?
Our buddy Gary.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Oh, Gary.
There you go. Rambling again.
I'm sorry. I was rambling. I'm sorry. I forgot that you were
rambling.
Online.
You can't
Gary,
stop him, man.
Good morning. Thank you for holding on. What's up?
You do a lot of that. It's good, Tom. It keeps the people interested. Hey, you know the other thing you don't have?
What's that?
We got to get a bobblehead for Tom.
Why not one? Well, we could get one for Danny, too.
No.
Bobbleheads.
I don't think I'd look good on a bobblehead.
That would be just great. Right. Double bobbleheads.
I don't know about that.
Hey, you know, what if a guy started a company that people could send in a picture of who they wanted to have a bobblehead made of, and people would send a bobblehead to them? I think people would be buying that like crazy.
Yeah, you never know.
I think so, too. I think you could make more money.
Yeah.
So did you give did you give your daughter that free subscription to Badger Sportsman magazine?
Yeah, I did. And yeah. We're also waiting here. Do you know anything about White Birch Lake?
Oh, that sounds familiar. Where is that again?
Well, you just talked to the fellow last Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I can't.
I went one of the trips up there, so I'm trying to figure out what I got to do to.
Oh, Dennis.
White Birch Lake.
Oh, Dennis was talking about it.
White Birch
Lake. Yeah, I won a trip last week.
Hey,
oh, that's right. You won the trip. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's all right.
We decided the first week in June we're going to head up there before July 1st, and after that it's heading, because we got all the county fairs and state fairs and everything after that, so we're going up first week in June.
Oh, that sounds great. That's going to be a good time of year, first week of June. Hopefully you'll catch some nice fish.
They're going out.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Gary.
What do you plan on fishing? Is it going to be walleyes or bass, or what are you targeting?
We're thinking of walleyes.
Gotcha.
Well, good luck. And, you know, after you do that, you're going to have to call us and give us a report on how it all went, all right?
Hey, I never told you, but I got eighth place at Battle and Bagel.
Yeah. I think, didn't you tell us that?
Or yeah. Maybe somebody else did.
Yeah. What did you win? What did you win? Like 700? Yeah, you did tell us.
Oh, yeah, you did tell us. Yeah.
$750.
You got a good year going so far,
yeah,
Gary.
Yeah, you're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
You know, my son always gets mad at me when I'm not fishing, right? He always keeps an eye on me, Cody. You know him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went with you. I don't know where that lake was, but we went to a lake one time where it was an old timer's house, like an old folks place. And we fished outside, and he had his Rexlar, and you went on the other corner of the house, and then we fished off that lake. But I don't remember where it was.
Yeah, odds are Tom doesn't remember.
I
either,
know. He's had I don't remember.
Gary, he's had a lot of concussions.
I don't
all
remember.
Those high school football
yeah,
games.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't play in one. So anyway,
yeah,
thank
you. Cody's pretty good.
What?
He's a pretty good fisherman. He went up to Genoa to help Mark out today already.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Gary, and don't forget to let us know how it all went up there in Boulder Junction.
Yeah,
right?
Good luck up there.
Yeah.
No, I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
All right. Thanks,
Take care, Gary.
Okay, bye
now.
Thank
you.
So we only got a few minutes left, and, you know, we were talking about all these little lakes, little gems of lakes. There's another thing, too. There's a number of lakes just north of here, and as a matter of fact, between here and Green Bay, that there's a lot of little lakes, and I know there's some out to the west, too. I just don't know of those, that there are no outboards allowed. So it's either rowing or an electric
right.
motor. And those little gems of lakes oftentimes are just packed with fish, you know?
You know, another little musky lake you talk about, Wingra there in Madison.
Wingra, yeah, right next to the zoo.
Years ago, I and Ron Johnson and my buddy Scott Olson, we went to Goofy Slough down by Spring Green or somewhere, I think. It's
Goofy
South
Slough.
Goofy Yeah, you know how it got the name Goofy Slough?
I don't know. I'm kind of afraid to ask.
I was reading a magazine about these sloughs that had giant pike, right? Ice
yeah.
fishing. So I would venture off by myself, and I found this slough in the middle of nowhere, but I tried to follow the directions from the magazine, and it was called White Potato Slough. So I went I pulled up, and I walked out onto the ice, and there was one old toothless guy out there. And I said, "Is this White Potato Slough?" And he goes, "White Potato, White, Black, Goofy Slough, whatever you want to call it." And when he said, "Goofy Slough," after that, I called
it
Goofy Slough. And I thought, "Goofy, you're goofy, buddy. No teeth. Goofy Slough." So we went to Goofy Slough and caught a few small pike. And then on the way back, I said, "Hey, I heard Wingra has muskies." And it was like opening weekend of fishing, right? So I and Ron and my buddy Scott went, and we just had pike gear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's outboard motor only, so we fired up the trolling.
You mean no outboard motors? Or
no outboard
right,
motors.
No
you can
outboard.
Use electric.
Right.
So
right.
I fired up the little rear electric, my cheap little.
Yeah.
I had a tiny little aluminum boat. And as I'm going across the lake, Ron, he always has to have his line in the water. Mm-hmm. He chucks out a little MEPS, and we hadn't gone 50 yards, and he caught a 30-inch muskie. Mm-hmm. And we proceeded to catch like five muskies in an hour there. And they were all small,
right.
but we caught them trolling, we caught them casting. And Travis Richardson was there at the time with a couple clients. Right. And he was super nice guy. He didn't know us from Adam, but he started talking to us. Hey, how you doing? How's fishing? And
That is an action lake. I mean, not a lot of big ones, but it's got a lot of
there
fish in
it. There was a 48-incher that had been caught out of there, I'd heard prior.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's time for us to go, Danny.
No, it's not. I'm going to keep talking.
Okay. You do that.
Just trying to get Nick nervous back there.
The Nary Home Improvement Show coming up next.
That's all I got.
Me too.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Skipperbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Go out, do something nice for someone today, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.